I invite your attention to Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 23. The epistle of Paul the Apostle to the church in Rome, chapter 6, verses 16 through 23. The title of this morning's lesson is, Whose Slave Are You? You're somebody's slave. You're something's slave. Whose slave are you? Before we read this passage and before we expound it, note that it speaks of people identified as servants in some translations, but as slaves in other translations. And it is worthy of note that in our King James Version, there were about seven different kinds of servants. By that we mean that the word servant was translated, or what translated, about seven different words. So not all servants were the same kind of servants. For example, there was a voluntary minister to others. As in Matthew chapter 23 verse 11, the word there is diakonos. We get our word deacon from that. So a servant could be a voluntary minister to others. Second, there was a servant who was an attendant to a person of rank, as in Luke chapter 1 verse 69. The third type of servant was a household or domestic servant, as in Acts chapter 10, verse 7. The fourth type of servant was an officer or attendant of a civil authority, as in Matthew chapter 26, verse 58. Fifth, there was a servant who was one who served out of love. Moses is said to be one in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5. Sixth, there was a hired servant, one who served for wages, in Luke chapter 15, verses 17 and 19, which speaks of the prodigal son. But here we have the seventh word that is in some translations translated servant. It is the word doulos, and it means properly slave. Trench's Synonyms of the New Testament says that this word doulos here in Romans chapter 6 means properly the bond man, one who was in a permanent relationship of servitude to another, one whose will was completely subject to the will of the other. This was the bond servant, and the bond servant was a slave. And that is the word that is used here in our passage, Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 23. We're talking here about slaves. But note furthermore that this passage speaks of spiritual slaves, not necessarily physical slaves. Not all people are physical slaves, for many of them are physical free men and therefore not slaves. However, spiritually speaking, everyone is a slave, including physical free men. Even physical free men are spiritual slaves. Now, having made those remarks in preface, let us now read the passage that is before us, Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 23. Paul writes, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." In the passage now before us, Romans 6, verses 16 through 23, Paul cites the word slaves 8 times. In verse 16, he says, "To whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey." In verse 17, he says, "You were slaves of sin." In verse 18, he says, "You became slaves of righteousness." In verse 19, he says, "As you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness." In verse 20, he says, "You were slaves of sin." In verse 22, he says, "You have become slaves of God." Now let's look at this passage and observe 4 points in the lesson now before us. Point number 1, all are slaves. Point number 2, all are slaves voluntarily. Point number 3, all are by nature slaves of sin. And the 4th point is, believers in the gospel have presented themselves to God as slaves of obedience leading to righteousness. Now let's consider these 4 points one by one, beginning with the 1st point, all are slaves. By that I mean you and me and every one of us. And I speak here first of all of men who are in their native state. For all of us by nature are slaves of sin. When I say that I speak of all of us, are by nature slaves of sin. I speak of us in our natural state. That state or that condition in which we were born. And we are said to be, as natural people, slaves of sin three times. Verses 16, 17, and 20. Furthermore, all are by nature slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness. Verse number 19. Now some of us, believers in Jesus Christ, have become slaves of obedience, according to verse 16. Slaves of righteousness for holiness, according to verse 19. And slaves of God, according to verse 22. I'm here speaking about every one of us. Every one of us is a slave, either of sin or of God. Now, I know whose slave I am. I am a slave of God. But I ask you, whose slave are you? Second, observe that all are slaves voluntarily. Our slavery is not forced upon us against our will. Now, this is quite different from physical slavery in many instances. Physical slaves are sometimes slaves against their will. They did not volunteer for their physical slavery. Some of them were taken in war or captured by people who traffic in slavery. They were taken to a slave market. They were bought by someone. And that one who bought them became their slave master. And they did not volunteer for this slavery. They are slaves involuntarily. But in the spiritual realm, our slavery is not forced upon us against our will. We are slaves voluntarily. This is evidenced in verse number 16, where Paul says that we have presented ourselves to our master in the sense of placing ourselves at the disposal of our master. He uses that word presented or yielded. We have presented ourselves to our master and said, I will be your slave. Furthermore, here in verse 16 he says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Now all of us who are in our natural state have presented ourselves as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness. But some of us, and I here speak of believers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have willfully and voluntarily obeyed the exhortation to present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. And I will tell you this, I have done so. I have presented myself as a slave of God, and I have presented the members of my body as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Have you? Point number 3. All are by nature slaves of sin. Now, we have already stated this fact, but we here will expound upon it because Paul does to some considerable length. And it should not escape our attention that natural men are identified as slaves of sin thrice. Three times in verses 16, 17, and 20, Paul speaks of natural men as slaves of sin. Jesus Christ also expounded upon this fact in saying in John 8, verse 34, that whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Why does he sin? Because sin says so. Sin is his master. He sins because he obeys his master, voluntarily doing so. Let's expound furthermore upon what it is to be a slave of sin. Consider that slaves of sin are slaves of the governing sin within them. Now here note that the word sin is a noun, not a verb. Usually when we think of sin, we think of some action, some deed. We think of something that has been said, something that has been done, something that has been thought. But here, sin is a noun. And this sin is the governing principle, the governing power, acting through the members of our body, having its seat in the will. This sin is the master that sits on the throne of our will. Paul calls it in Romans chapter 7 verse 17, the sin that dwells in me. It's taken its residence in me. It sits there as a governor inside me. Paul says in Romans chapter 7 verse 23 that this sin governs the flesh through the law of sin which is in my members. This sin that is enthroned in our will, in the will of the natural man, it has a law, and this law governs those who are under its authority, and that is every man, every woman in his or her natural state. According to Romans chapter 6, verse 6, our physical body is therefore called the body of sin. Our body, our physical body, is the flesh in which this governing sin resides, there in the will of man. Slaves of this governing sin evidence its mastery over them in their lives, as you can read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Slaves of sin, slaves of this governing sin within them, walk according to the course of this world. Slaves of sin walk according to the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan. Slaves of sin walk according to the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also they all conduct themselves in the lust of their flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and are by nature children of wrath. Slaves of sin naturally sin because sin is their master, and they are sin's slaves and obediently do sin's will. Slaves of sin must sin, and slaves of sin can do nothing sinless. Now it is rather strange that slaves of sin boast of having free will. Slaves of sin say, I'm not subject to sin. Well, yes you are, my friend, by nature. Sin is the governing principle in your will, and your will does what sin says to do, and in that regard, your will is not free. It is subject to the governing sin that sits on the throne of your will. Note furthermore that slaves of sin are also slaves of sin leading to death, Paul says in verse number 16. They're going to receive their wages. They will receive what they justly deserve. Slaves of sin leading to death will find that the wages of sin is death in verse number 23. And this death here is the second death in the everlasting lake which burns with fire and brimstone in Revelation chapters 20 and 21. Therein the second death, therein Gehenna, in the lake of fire, the slaves of sin will receive their payday and receive their wages, and it'll be death that they will experience for all the rest of eternity. I hope you are not one of them. Furthermore, note that slaves of sin are also slaves of uncleanness. Verse number 19. This uncleanness is the moral pollution and defilement of the soul which makes it unholy. Slaves of uncleanness must do unholy things and can do nothing holy. In Job chapter 14, verse 4, the question is asked, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. No one. Well, uncleanness is what you are. Uncleanness governs your soul. And therefore, you are the slave of uncleanness. And nothing good can come out of your uncleanness. Your slavery will not permit it. Note furthermore that slaves of sin are also slaves of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness in verse number 19. The King James Version uses the term iniquity, slaves of iniquity, but lawlessness is more properly the term. This lawlessness is complete disregard for God's law. This lawlessness is what makes the soul of man guilty before God. A lawless person is a scofflaw. He observes God's law and he says, I am lawless with regard to God's law. I scoff his law. I am a scofflaw. And he does so because he is a slave of lawlessness. He is bound and determined to violate God's law. He is incapable of doing anything righteousness. Note furthermore that Paul says that they are slaves of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. What does that mean? Their lawlessness leading to more lawlessness denotes the proclivity of their soul to disobey God. They have a proclivity to do so. They are bound and determined to do so. They devote themselves to doing so. Slaves of sin are also said in verse 20 to be free in regard to righteousness. Now that's an interesting expression. Slaves of sin are free in regard to righteousness. What does that mean? It means that they have determined that righteousness will have no power and no authority over them. With regard to righteousness, they are free. It has nothing over them. Note furthermore that slaves of sin are also slaves of Satan, and Satan is the author of sin. Satan is their slave master, for they are, apart from divine enablement, unable to come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. This is every man in his natural state. He is in the snare of the devil. He has been so from his mother's womb. From the day he was born, he is in the snare of the devil. He is the captive of the devil. And the devil has taken him captive in order that this one might do the devil's will. Now he does not do the devil's will against his own will. Jesus says in John 8 verse 44 that these who are slaves of sin are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you desire to do. You want to do it. Slaves of sin not only are captives of Satan, but also his children. And here the principle applies, like father, like son. Satan is a liar and a murderer, a cheat, a fraud. Everything about him is sinful. And so it is with his slaves, his children also. Now, we have observed the first three points. All are slaves. Second, all are slaves voluntarily. Third, all are by nature slaves of sin. Now we observe the fourth point. Believers in the gospel have presented themselves to God as slaves of obedience, leading to righteousness. Verse number 16. And believers did this when they obeyed the gospel, according to verses 17 and 18. We read, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Now, this form of doctrine that believers have believed is the gospel. And notice that we are said to have been delivered to it. The gospel delivers us from sin, and we present ourselves to the gospel. We are delivered unto it. Paul says in verse 23 that these believers now have been set free from sin and we have become slaves of God. These slaves of God are like Saul of Tarsus on that road to Damascus. He started out from Jerusalem to go to Damascus as a slave of sin. He was doing the devil's will. He was sinning, even breathing threatenings and slaughter in his very breath. But something happened on that road to Damascus. A master greater than Satan and sin struck Paul on that road, knocked him to the ground, and brought him to his senses so that he could escape the snare of the devil. Saul of Tarsus, having been delivered from his slavery to sin, then said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Do you observe what has changed? This man says, "I will now become your slave. I will now become your bond servant. I yield myself. I present myself to obey you. What do you want me to do? Whatever you want me to do, I voluntarily, I willingly will do it. I will delight to do so." Indeed, in this regard, these slaves of obedience leading to righteousness imitate Jesus Christ in saying in John chapter 5, verse 30, "I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." This is what slaves of obedience leading to righteousness do. "I do not seek my own will. I put my will in subjection to the Father's will, and I delight to do His will." Note furthermore that believers are slaves of obedience leading to righteousness, verse 16. And this is the opposite of what they were before, when they were slaves of sin leading to death. As slaves of obedience, they are in the service of God, obeying Him in all things, just as they formerly served Satan and obeyed him in all things. Notice that their obedience is leading to righteousness. What is this obedience leading to righteousness? It is not the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is not the imparted righteousness or the divine nature that is put within us, a nature of righteousness. We do not merit these through our obedience, but rather this obedience leading to righteousness speaks of practical righteousness. It is a righteousness that is not imputed, not implanted, but rather practiced. Slaves of obedience to God prove themselves to be so by the righteousness they practice, according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. You can mark and identify slaves of obedience by the righteousness they practice in their personal everyday lives. Furthermore, believers are also slaves of righteousness. Not only are they slaves of obedience leading to righteousness, but they are said to be slaves of righteousness itself. In verse number 18, Paul writes, "And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Who was it that set us free from our bondage to sin? It was our liberator, Jesus Christ. And our liberator from sin has become our master. He is Jehovah, our righteousness. Jeremiah 23, verse 6. We have submitted to His lordship. We have made ourselves to be His slaves. And we obey Him as slaves of righteousness. And ultimately, Christ Jesus is that righteousness. Furthermore, believers are also slaves of righteousness for holiness, which is the opposite of what they were before. Slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. Slaves of righteousness for holiness, as they are identified in verse 19, have yielded and presented themselves to their new match, to their new master, pardon me. They willfully live according to God's law. They willfully do what is righteous and holy. They imitate Christ in saying, "I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." Psalm 40, verse 8. When Jesus Christ liberates us from our slavery to sin, He puts God's law in our hearts. It is a law of righteousness, and we devote ourselves to obeying it. And we delight to do so because we are slaves of righteousness for holiness. Note furthermore that believers are therefore slaves of God, verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Oh, my friend, note this. God is good to His slaves. They who have been delivered from the snare of the devil, have put themselves totally, voluntarily, and willingly into the service of God. And God gives to them far more than they can imagine. They have the fruit of holiness and everlasting life for all eternity. Slaves of God, obey the exhortation of verses 12 through 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present yourselves as members, or do not present your members as instruments of righteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Sin at one time had dominion over us. We served it. It was our master. But that is not the case now. We have made ourselves slaves to God, slaves of righteousness, slaves of holiness, slaves of Jesus Christ. So I ask you, whose slave are you? Are you a slave of sin and Satan? By nature you are. But oh, my friend, I hope that is no longer the case with you. And I hope that you can say, I have been delivered by the grace of God through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ from my slavery to sin and Satan. And I have now presented myself as a slave of God and of righteousness, and I will do my Father's will. I hope that's true of you. Whose slave are you? O God our Father, bless this lesson, we pray, to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.